We're looking at the invitations of Jesus. And this morning we're going to look at Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a fascinating story. And if you grew up having your parents take you to church, you might have learned a song. Did anybody learn a song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Oh, I forgot the words. And up in a sycamore tree for the... I remember the... wanted to see. And as the Savior passed him by, he looked up in the tree. And he said... Because I'm coming to your house today. So if you want to learn that song, I put the words in the sermon notes. You can take that home and practice it. Look it up on YouTube. There are tenors singing it and there are rock bands singing it. It takes a story and it gives us the outline. There's a man, he couldn't see, he wanted to see Jesus, he climbed up in a tree, and Jesus said, come on down, I'm coming to your house. But there's so much richness in that story. So much that goes beyond just a little kid's song. So I want to give you the background and I want to dig into that today. So some background information to help understand this. First off, is I want you to know how far it is from Jericho to Jerusalem. If you hear the Bible, you hear about the city of Jericho, you hear about Jerusalem. Well, here on a map, you've got Jericho, we've got Jerusalem, and it's one day's walk. It's about 15 miles, so probably for us that'd be like 3 days' walk. But for people in Jesus' time, it was a day's walk, not even a full day's walk, but it was a hard walk. You're gaining 3,400 feet in elevation, and there is the road from Jericho going up, so it was dry and sunny and harsh. So it was a hard walk, but a day's walk from Jericho to Jerusalem. So that's the first thing I want you to know, background information. The next is about hospitality. In the Middle East, and indeed most parts of the world, hospitality is paramount. It reflects on your village. Is your village hospitable? Does it welcome in strangers and honored guests? It reflects on your house. Is your home a home that is hospitable? Well, that's a home held in high regard. Are you a hospitable person? So if there was someone seeking hospitality coming in, it was utmost of importance to show that hospitality. So that's important to know. Then, I want you to know about tax collectors. Tax collectors in this time when Jesus was doing his ministry. As it says here, they were associated with robbers, with murderers. They were considered unclean. And if you think about it, well, why would a tax collector be considered a robber? Well, a tax collector was considered a robber because a tax collector was a robber. Just imagine, where April 15th is coming up in less than a month. We have that where some people celebrate because they get a refund and others of us say, ooh, I got to write a check. And tax day. But imagine if our system was such that from Washington, a note was sent to one person in Castleton saying, here's the tax levy on the town of Castleton, go collect that money. And that person went around and said, okay, here's what you have to pay, here's what you have to pay, here's what you have to pay. And that might not seem like a horrible system, unless all of a sudden that person puts a 3,000 square foot addition on their house. And that person who's collecting these taxes all of a sudden starts taking trips to the Riviera. And there's rumor that they have a private jet waiting in Albany. And wait, where is this person getting all this money? That's how the tax collection system worked there, is here is the amount you must send to the Roman Empire, and anything else extra you collect, you can keep. Tax collectors were thieves. They got wealthy off of overcharging and overtaxing and overcollecting from the people. And not only that, these were Jewish people working for the occupier, supporting the enemy by working for the Roman government. So tax collectors were the scum of the earth in a town. So those are important things to know. But also sycamore trees. What does a sycamore tree look like? Let's see a sycamore tree. There is a sycamore tree today in the Middle East, and it's really, I should have my boys in here because they'd be like, can we get one of those? Because they're always looking for good climbing trees. And a sycamore tree has low branches that are good for climbing and thick foliage so you cannot be seen when you're up in there. It becomes like a fort. So that's a sycamore tree. Interestingly, in this time of Jesus, that no sycamore trees were planted within a town. Sycamore trees had to be at least 75 feet outside of a village because anything that happened under them, it was considered under a roof. So if there was a dead animal under the tree and you walked under the tree, all of a sudden you were unclean because you were under the same roof under that tree. So they kept trees outside of the village. There were no trees within Jericho. And finally, an important thing to know before I get into the story of Zacchaeus is that Middle Eastern men do not run and do not climb. I want to tell you about John Badeau. John Badeau was the ambassador to Egypt in the 1960s. And I did a little research because I heard this story from his memoirs, but I'm like, well, who was this guy? Fascinating because we have a connection to him in the Reformed Church in America. He was born in Pittsburgh and he went to Union College. So went to college here in Schenectady and got a degree in civil engineering. Then he went to New Brunswick Theological Seminary at Rutgers University. And then he also got a master's in sacred theology from Union Theological Seminary in Union, at Columbia University. And he studied Arabic and Muslim philosophy. He was an ordained minister of the Reformed Church in America, and he spent his career in the Middle East. And he was 7 years a missionary in the Middle East. And during this time as an engineer and a teacher, he got to know a lot of prominent people in Baghdad and Mosul, places that we hear now in the news, the middle of hotbeds of activity. The Reformed Church in America had missionaries back in the 20s, and John Badeau was one of them. And because of his knowledge in the Middle East, he was picked by President Kennedy to serve as a special liaison and then as ambassador to Egypt. All of this to say that he was ambassador of Egypt, was well respected within the Arab culture, Arab lands, and one time when he had an audience with King Nasser of Egypt, the president asked him, "Is it true what I hear? Did you really climb a tree?" This is a true story that the president of Egypt asked the ambassador, "Is it true that you climbed a tree?" And what had happened is there was going to be an embassy party at his house, and there, you know, you've got a walled property, and something in the lights weren't working. And so John, being an American, climbed up the tree and was stringing the lights up in the tree. The help, the servants, the people on the property saw this and were aghast. And the rippling rumors went throughout all of Cairo. And it got to the president. And the president was so curious about this. "Really? You climbed a tree?" Because Arab men do not climb trees. It's undignified. And if you come tonight, you will see us all in robes recreating the scene. Guess what? When you're wearing a robe tunic, you don't go running either. Middle Eastern men do not climb trees. They do not run. So all of this is background information that we've got how far it is to Jerusalem. We've got hospitality. We've got tax collectors, sycamore trees, Middle Eastern men not running and climbing. And finally, the fact that Jesus was on a mission from God to get to Jerusalem. I'm going to share from Luke chapter 19, but just before it, in 18, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he says, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He'll be handed over, they'll mock him, they'll spit on him, insult him, and kill him." Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. He was on a mission. So this is where he starts. This is we can see that picture. This is modern day Jericho. And this is where he's starting. And he had already passed through, or was passing through. As he entered it, there was a crowd and he healed a blind man. And he just kept going. He was on a mission. He was focused. So here, Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. How did he get his wealth? He stole his wealth. He wanted to see who Jesus was, and being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay in your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." This is the word of the Lord. Zacchaeus wanted just a glimpse of Jesus. He was hoping just to see this man who the crowds were surrounding that he'd heard about. But instead of just a glimpse, he got the whole story. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. I want us to think this story through just a little bit more. And okay, here's a short man and he wants to see. Now here is another short man. Now you might recognize this short man. This is Danny DeVito. I looked it up. He's 4'10". He's getting a little older, so he's probably not even 4'10" anymore. Now let's say Danny DeVito was hanging out in some sunny spot and wanted to see, oh, I don't know, Rose Bowl Parade. Would Danny DeVito have any trouble seeing the Rose Bowl Parade? No, because everybody would say, "Oh, Mr. DeVito, stand in front of me. I can look over you anyways." You know, it wouldn't be a problem. Say, "Oh, have a seat of honor. Have a good spot to be." It wouldn't be a problem if you have friends. But if you only have enemies, all of a sudden, big guys like me are standing in front and nobody's letting you through and you can't see. And if you are a wealthy robber, who's to say that people won't jab at you a little bit as you're lost in the crowd as a short man? So what did he do? He ran ahead. He said, "Forget this, I don't care about dignity. I want to see this guy." He ran ahead. "Forget this, I don't care about dignity." He climbed up a tree. "Forget this, I'm going to hide like a coward, even though I'm a wealthy man, in this tree." And Jesus was heading to Jerusalem. He had already just blasted through Jericho. He's a long day hike ahead of him, but he said, "I can still make it, and then I'll stay with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, have a good night's rest up in Bethany." And he's just heading on through. And this is not recorded in any way, shape, or form, but I've got to think that there were kids around. And know what kids do? They look at everything. And all of a sudden, a kid says, "There's a man up in that tree." And he says to another kid, "Hey, look, there's a man up in that tree." And then they say, "Hey, Mom and Dad, there's a man up in the tree." And all of a sudden, the crowd is murmuring because there's a man up in the tree. "Oh, it's Zacchaeus. Ha, ha, ha. The rich man is treed, and we're all around him." I just wonder if there were some sneers and snickers, maybe some jeers up at the rich man in the tree. So Jesus stops. And Jesus, who's seeking and saving the lost, says, "Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm staying in your house." Because Jesus didn't just come for the oppressed, for the poor, the downtrodden, the blind, the lame. Jesus came also to free the oppressor. Jesus came not only for the person who is bound by poverty, but also for the person bound by riches. Jesus said, "I'm going to do something about this. I'm not just going to smile and wave. I'm not going to just scold the crowd and say, 'Hey, he's one of God's children too.' I'm going to take action. I'm staying in your house. I mean, think about the insult to the town. He had just blown off all their hospitality. Hospitality is important. Oh, this man's so important that there was a crowd following him through the town. He's like, no, I'm going to Bethany. I'm going on to Jerusalem. I'm heading up the hill. And all of a sudden he says, well, okay, I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to stay with this guy tonight. The least likely person in terms of righteousness for Jesus to choose. And what happens? The crowd, they start to mutter. They start to complain. They start to grumble. They say, why is he staying there? Do you see what happens? There's a shift. Everybody's focused against Zacchaeus. And all of a sudden they don't care about Zacchaeus. It's against Jesus. Jesus takes the focus off of the sinner and puts it on himself. He takes the sin and shame and embarrassment of this man and puts it on himself. He takes the scorn away. Where was Jesus heading? What was at the end of the road? We know, we've talked about it. At the end of the road was death on the cross. He was heading to Jerusalem to die, to save the lost. Jesus in Jericho takes on the sin and shame of Zacchaeus. Jesus in Jerusalem takes on the sin and shame of the world. But it's a costly grace, a painful grace, not something given lightly. Easter, the great celebration. But we need to have a Good Friday. We need to remember how costly the grace is. Zacchaeus heard the invitation. The invitation, come down out of hiding. Come, let me into your house. Jesus came to him and Zacchaeus understood the cost to Jesus' reputation. He took on his shame. Do you understand this cost? How do you respond to this? Jesus' suffering and death, bringing salvation to homes. Last week we talked about a higher standard and a higher witness. Jesus loves you this much to absorb all our garbage, to sully his reputation. Did you think about that? Think about how, okay, we see it very clearly with all of a sudden Jesus, who's everybody's celebrating as he's going through, and then all of a sudden they're murmuring and complaining against him because he takes on this man's shame. But what about us? The biggest complaint the world has against Jesus is us, is the Christians. Is those people who say we're following him, but we still screw up. And Jesus is okay with that. Jesus says, yeah, I'm going to take that on. I'm going to associate with you, even though it damages my reputation a little bit. It's really pretty amazing. So Zacchaeus responds and he says, okay, I'm going to give everything, I'm going to give half of myself to the poor, and anybody I've cheated, I'm going to give four times as much amount. I'm going to make this right. Now, if you add up the math, he probably can't do that. But it shows his heart. He shows his heart, and Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house. But he hadn't done anything yet. He hadn't done anything yet. Zacchaeus had invited Jesus in, but he hadn't given anything back. He hadn't done all the work yet. But Jesus says, salvation is here. Zacchaeus recognized his need. He humbled himself and he responded to Jesus' call. We need to be willing to do this ourselves, to humble ourselves, to respond to the invitations of Jesus, and then say, how do I respond to this? This is my suggestion here, based on the teachings of Jesus, is that we need to be willing to make things right with others, ask for forgiveness, to seek forgiveness, to offer forgiveness, make things right with each other and with others in the world, and then to make ourselves available to God. Zacchaeus, he says, hey, I'm going to pay back. I'm going to make restitution. I'm going to make things right. And then I'm God's. The next thing Jesus talks about is how we are stewards of everything God gives us. He shares this message. Zacchaeus no longer served the Roman oppressors, but he served the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We need to stop serving the powers of this world and say, hey, I'm going to serve and follow Jesus, responding to His costly grace by living a life that glorifies Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You so much for the costly grace that You extend to us. We thank You for Your sacrifice and the fact that we don't have to do anything except allow You in to receive in faith the forgiveness that You offer us. Then seek to live a life that glorifies You and serves You and Your purposes in this world. Thank You for this story of Zacchaeus and how we see Your power to transform a life. In Jesus' name, amen.